When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Simon Marks is LBC's Washington correspondent and joins us on the line now. Hello, Simon.
Evening, Nick.
Donald Trump, have the reports of his death been somewhat exaggerated?
Well, they appear to have been completely manufactured. It's been a very odd weekend. I mean, to be fair to the conspiracy theorists online who took this notion that something had terrible had happened to the President of the United States and ran with it, we had not seen hide nor hair of him since last Tuesday when he hosted that 3-hour and 17-minute made-for-TV cabinet meeting in which members of the cabinet were sitting around and anointing him and slathering him with baby oil and telling him what an absolutely wonderful leader of the free world that he is. After that cabinet meeting, he went to ground and we didn't see anything of him until Saturday when he emerged again and went to the golf course. I have to say, in most of the pictures, he was photographed from a distance by the press pool. There were some people at the golf course itself who managed to get closer up pictures of him. He didn't look great, but he invariably doesn't look great when he, wanders out of either the White House or Mar-a-Lago,
Simon,
on a Saturday or a Sunday,
Simon,
without, you know.
Simon, no one looks better in golf attire than him. Everybody says
so. Of course. What am I saying? No one knows more about how to look better than he does, but he didn't look particularly great, but he often doesn't look great when he heads off to the golf club. He did, we now know, give an interview on Friday for an hour to a pro-Trump publication, The Daily Caller, but precisely where he was for the back end of last week is unclear. I mean, one thing that was evident when we last saw him on Tuesday prior to this weekend was that bruise on the back of his right hand, he was definitely trying to try and avoid the cameras from getting any pictures of it. He kept putting his other hand over it and he kept putting it under the table. And that has still not been explained by White House physicians. But no, there is absolutely no indication that the President of the United States is not back at the White House tonight, fully in control of his government. Obviously, once we get past the Labor Day holiday here, which is Monday, and we get into the new week, I think there will be an enormous amount of interest in close-up pictures of him at work at the White House. It's also just worth remembering, he's not supposed to be at the White House at the moment. He was supposed to be on holiday at his golf resort in Bedminster, New Jersey. And he scrapped the holiday because he argued that he needed to be at the helm to deal with the crime wave, which isn't really a crime wave, in Washington, D.C., that he has deployed the National Guard to try and bring under control. They've got so little to do that they spent much of last week cleaning up litter in the city because there is no crime wave for them to bring under control. He may just have fancied a couple of days off, given that he was supposed to be taking them off anyway. But it has been a bit odd. There's no question about that.
Yes, you get that kind of bruise on the back of your hand. If you get a cannula put in your the back of your hand to get drugs intravenously, don't you? I wonder if he has some sort of underlying medical condition that would require, you know what I mean by cannula, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, he has been diagnosed with something called chronic venous insufficiency, which is a...
Chronic venality, I think, is how you pronounce that.
I'm not sure that's the precise medical term. What he's been diagnosed with is apparently a common condition when the veins in your arms or legs are no longer able to move blood around as efficiently as they are supposed to do. So we knew that, I think, back in late June. That's the last we've heard from the White House physician. And this was not, we were told, any kind of serious ailment. It was a condition that he'd been diagnosed with and was undergoing some kind of treatment for. So it's a mystery. And I think that it's fair to say that given the amount of attention that the Trump people placed on Joe Biden's condition during his final 18 months in office, there is going to be pressure on the White House to deliver some kind of physician's report into what is going on. No doubt it will be a physician's report in the long history of Donald Trump physicians' report that assure us that he is he's got the body of a gazelle and he's absolutely nobody has ever been fitter to serve as commander-in-chief than Donald Trump.
Yeah, and J.D. Vance did an interview and he seems programmed almost like an AI bot to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. And he said that he's something of the order of he's ready to step in any time the president drops down dead. He didn't put it like that. But there is no indication that he is going to do that anytime soon.
He didn't put it quite like that, but he certainly gave the indication that he was raring to go and more than ready to take over based on everything that he's apparently learned at the president's knee in the couple of hundred days since this second Donald Trump term began in the White House. I mean, I think to be fair to J.D. Vance, he did say that there was absolutely no indication of any transition being in the offing. But, you know, you never could predict when these things were to occur. It was certainly very bad timing on his part that he was saying that as people in Washington were beginning to wonder why we hadn't seen the president, given that we normally see him. And again, to be fair to him, he is the most accessible president of the modern era. I mean, that's always not necessarily a positive, but he makes himself available multiple times a day to reporters in and the propagandists who now, of course, fill out the seats in the White House briefing room in ways that, you know, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, none of them ever did. Certainly Joe Biden didn't. So when he does disappear from view for two or three days, people do start wondering what on earth is going on.
Yes. Just as you mentioned it, the National Guard in Washington, D.C. is just the start of it, isn't it? Because Trump has said that he intends to do the same thing in other Democrat-held cities, which also have a reducing crime rate, but that's to him irrelevant, amongst which is Chicago. Now, he can do it legally in Washington, but he can't do it in another city. Is that right?
Well, it's harder to do in Chicago because Chicago is in Illinois, which is a state, and the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, can put up a heck of a battle to try and stop Donald Trump from federalizing the National Guard and deploying them on the streets of Chicago. But as we saw in Los Angeles back in June, when there were those small pockets of anti-immigration protests and he federalized the National Guard and put them on the streets, he declares an emergency in order to do this, and he did it in teeth of opposition from Gavin Newsom, the Democrat governor of California. So he has to use emergency statutes in order to do it, which he didn't have to do in Washington, D.C. Remember, this city is not part of a state, and he was able to revoke the home rule law that exists here and has only actually existed since 1973. It's only been since Richard Nixon's presidency that Washington has had the power to run its own affairs. So he revoked the part of that statute that allows Washington, D.C. to take care of law and order and crime and punishment in the district and said, right, forget that, I'm taking over. That he cannot do in Chicago, but he has other tools at his disposal. Of course, the mayor of Chicago, the governor of Illinois, and lawmakers in other states and where we think that Donald Trump is about to do this, insist that he cannot concoct an emergency out of thin air. But he's done that here in Washington, D.C., and there is every reason to believe that he's going to do it in the days or weeks to come, certainly in Chicago and then possibly in New York and Los Angeles and other Democrat-run cities. And the reason for this is clear, Nick. It's not about, as he claims, controlling crime. He talked about Chicago being a hellhole and, you know, he issued an invitation to go and walk the streets of Baltimore with the governor of Maryland saying it was too dangerous for anyone to be seen on the streets. None of that is true. What he's trying to do is foment this notion that the country is simmering, it's on the brink. And once we get into next year and the midterm election campaign, if he needs to declare a national public security emergency because he thinks he's going to do badly in the midterm elections, he will absolutely do it. If he thinks it's expedient for him to do that, he's going to do it, and we will see disruption to the midterm election campaign. That is certainly what Democrats worry about, and it's something that Governor Newsom of California expressly warned about in a summit that was being held in Sacramento just a few days ago.
Yes. Now, international relations, India and China are having a sort of a bromance moment.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's a huge deal, this. If people have not been paying attention to what's been taking place this weekend in the Chinese city of Tianjin, they should. Because what we have seen is Narendra Modi, the Indian Prime Minister, propelled into the embrace of President Xi Jinping, even though there are still territorial disagreements between the two countries, and they have had an enormous amount of enmity over the past 30 years. But what, of course, has propelled Narendra Modi to get close to President Xi this weekend is Donald Trump and his global trade war and his tariffs. And nobody feels more blindsided by Donald Trump than the Indian leader. Narendra Modi thought that he was absolutely in the middle of a burgeoning bromance with Donald Trump. Back in 2019, Donald Trump went down to Houston, welcomed Narendra Modi to this 50,000-person event in Texas called Howdy Modi. They pledged absolute loyalty and friendship to one another for the rest of time. And it's all gone off the boil based on a row that they had in June when Trump rushed to claim that he had brokered a truce, as he put it, ended a war between India and Pakistan, and beat the Indians to making any kind of an announcement about the truce. And also the Indians were affronted by Trump claiming credit for this negotiation. And the two men have not spoken since then. Now you've got 50% American tariffs in place on Indian exports, including those secondary sanctions because the Indians are buying Russian oil. 30 years America has been trying to bring India into its orbit. That has all been shredded on the altar of Donald Trump's trade war and his desire for a Nobel Peace Prize. And Narendra Modi this weekend with President Xi in China talking about all the possibilities that lie ahead for the two of them to start working together. It is a very big deal.
Yes, not only with each other, but of course with Russia as well.
Yes, yes, because Vladimir Putin's been at that event, so is the Iranian president, Alexander Lukashenko from Belarus. There are more than 20 heads of government in Tianjin for this Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit this weekend, and it's continuing into the early part of the new week. And they are absolutely determined as a bloc to say to the rest of the world, and particularly to the United States, the era of American hegemony is coming to an end. The world has changed. As President Xi put it earlier today, the situation is now so fluid and chaotic internationally that the world is being swept by a once-in-a-century transformation. There's a huge challenge there for the United States coming out of that event.
And just finally, it seems petty, but, you know, he's a six-foot tower of pettiness. He's removed Kamala Harris' security. What do you know about that?
Yeah, he's removed her Secret Service protection. And indeed, it does seem petty, and it is petty. She is about to go on a book tour to promote her memoir, 107 Days, looking back on her failed presidential campaign. And given the febrile and polarized nature of American politics, it is fair to assume that the former vice president of the United States will be at considerable risk as she travels the country promoting a book. However, I think it is important to underscore that Joe Biden extended her Secret Service protection. Normally, former vice presidents only get 6 months of protection. Biden tripled that, extended it to 18 months. And what Trump has done is simply said, no, 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 we're at the six-month mark. You lose it now. But, you know, there's a huge hostage to fortune for Donald Trump in all of this, because if anything happens to her while she's out promoting that book or doing anything else, the questions for the White House about why he has done this will pile up at his door. And he's done it to other people as well that he opposes. Stripped the Secret Service protection away from Anthony Fauci, the doctor who was the architect of America's COVID response, from John Bolton, whose home and office were raided by the FBI. So, yes, petty and vindictive, but he's really just normalizing the situation for the former vice president.
Always good to talk to you, Simon. Thanks so much for that. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent.
Black Friday, well, shop Wayfair now. Month-long big deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out the song. Best in decor, Black Friday scores.
Garlands and trees,
saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses too. Sheets that are you, everything home. These things in chrome.
Hands of the clock, area roads.
Fast shipping, while Wayfair is out.
Win the season, win the season.
Win.